Imagine tearing apart Apple's deepest macOS source code, right, to find 17 critical vulnerabilities.
Yeah, which normally, I mean, a human researcher would take what, like 6 months to do that?
Exactly, 6 months, and they demand a $200,000 bounty for it. But Anthropic's new AI model just did it over the weekend for like $500 in compute cost.
It's wild. That changes the economics of the entire digital arms race permanently. I mean, the barrier to entry for discovering zero days just completely collapsed.
It really did. So, welcome to our deep dive into the massive Tikkun Night data drop from May 16th, 2026. Today, we're looking at a stack of intelligence that basically proves the old security and tech models are just they're fracturing.
Oh, absolutely
We're
fractured.
unpacking zero-click server hijackings, massive software supply chain poisonings, AI acting as like both a forensic exterminator and a financial regulator.
Which is a whole situation on its own.
Right. And all the way down to a fundamentally low-tech mobility startup that is just making a mockery of Silicon Valley economics. So for you listening, our goal today is to extract the so what from all this chaos.
Yeah, because we are seeing a complete spectrum of systemic vulnerability and adaptation right now.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start on the digital front lines because there is literally an active fire burning in enterprise infrastructure right now.
Yeah, the Microsoft Exchange situation.
Exactly. We're talking about vulnerability CVE 2026-42897 in the Exchange Web Services or EWS. It carries a CVSS score of 9.8.
Which is basically as bad as it gets. Unauthenticated remote code execution.
Right. And as of this morning, over 120,000 servers are currently vulnerable globally. And like a third of those are sitting right here in the US.
And, you know, the mechanism behind this is really what makes it so severe,
Okay.
because this isn't a complex multi-stage attack that requires, you know, user interaction.
No phishing emails required.
Right, zero clicks. The vulnerability exploits this really fundamental flaw in how the EWS endpoint deserializes user-provided data.
So how does an attacker actually exploit that?
They just scan the internet and send a maliciously crafted XML payload hidden within a standard HTTP POST request. And because the EWS endpoint tries to parse that XML without properly validating the input types first,
Oh, wow.
yeah, the attacker's payload just executes arbitrary commands directly in the server system memory.
So it bypasses the authentication layer entirely,
Right.
just because the parsing happens before the server even verifies who is sending the request.
Exactly.
It's like, I don't know, leaving the front door of a bank wide open and shouting the address on a megaphone, or like checking luggage for explosives only after the plane is already in the air.
That is a perfect way to visualize it, yeah.
Yeah.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you know, looking back at Proxy Logan or Proxy Shell a few years ago, Exchange Web Services sits at this really critical intersection.
Between the outside and the inside.
Right. It connects external web traffic to internal Active Directory structures. So achieving arbitrary code execution there grants immediate lateral movement.
So they can just walk right in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Attackers drop a web shell, pivot to the domain controller, and start deploying ransomware across the entire network architecture. Previous attacks required chaining multiple bugs together, but this is a single clean strike.
Which is terrifying. And CISA has already added it to their known exploited vulnerabilities list, right?
They have, yeah, because automated scanners are actively hunting for unpatched servers right this second.
Okay, so the takeaway for you listening is urgent. If your company relies on Microsoft Exchange, verify that patch KB5037849 is installed immediately, like today.
And you need to audit your ISIAN Exchange logs for any unusual PST requests directed at that EWS endpoint. Because securing that perimeter is just non-negotiable at this point.
Right, though I guess securing the perimeter means very little if your own engineering team is, you know, inadvertently pulling malicious code directly into the internal network.
Which is a perfect transition into our second story. Because you can lock your front door, but what if the contractor who built your house left a secret tunnel?
Yeah, the OpenAI hack. Two of their front-end developers had their MacBook Pros compromised. And the attack vector was a poisoned update to a really popular open source library called TanStack Query.
Specifically, it was version 5.48.3. And this is a massive deal because that package is a dependency for over 10 million projects globally.
Wait, OpenAI. arguably the most advanced tech company right now, got hacked because of a random code library.
Yeah, I know, it sounds crazy. But software supply chain attacks are up like 300% lately. They exploit the automated build processes that modern development completely relies on.
So how did it actually happen?
The attackers compromised the account of an NPM maintainer, just a normal developer,
what?
And they injected a malicious payload directly into the package's index file.
And what's devious here is how the payload actually functioned. Because when developers ran their standard package installation commands to, you know, pull in the updated library, the malicious code just executed in the background silently.
Right. It was a super lightweight script. It was designed to quietly enumerate the .env files and system variables on those local developer machines.
And .env files hold the keys to the kingdom, right?
Exactly. The script scraped the access tokens, the cloud infrastructure keys, database credentials, and then exfiltrated them via a disguised request to a remote server.
That is wild.
They specifically target the local development environment because that is where the most privileged credentials often reside in plain text.
Right, because developers need them to test things locally. But I should clarify, no OpenAI customer data or AI models were breached, right?
No, thankfully.
Yeah.
They caught the anomaly internally within about 48 hours. But considering 10 million other projects pulled that same poison dependency, the blast radius across the rest of the industry is massive.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of handing your house keys to a trusted contractor, and they secretly copy a master valet key that lets their third-party associates just drive away with your entire cloud infrastructure.
Yeah. So the overarching lesson here for any engineering manager listening is that implicit trust in third-party code is a critical vulnerability.
So what's the fix?
Development teams must enforce the use of strict lock files like package-lock.json to freeze dependency versions. You can't just auto-update everything.
Right.
And you have to integrate automated auditing tools like SNCC or Socket Security into your pipeline to analyze the actual behavior of new package updates before they deploy. And critically, stop storing sensitive access tokens in local environment variables. Use dedicated encrypted secret vaults.
It is genuinely terrifying that we have to worry about, you know, parsing flaws in EWS on one side and then obfuscated scraping scripts hidden deep within NPM packages on the other.
Yeah.
Human code review is clearly failing to scale here.
It is, which is why we're starting to outsource the auditing to machines.
Yes. Which brings us to Anthropic's new specialized AI, Mythos.
Right, the AI exterminator.
Its singular purpose is vulnerability discovery. Humans are struggling to spot backdoors, so we just unleash an AI to find the bugs for us.
And its debut over the weekend was an absolute watershed moment for exploit development.
Mythos independently discovered 17 new zero-day vulnerabilities in Apple's macOS. We're looking at 7 privilege escalation bugs, which allow malicious code to gain root access, and 4 sandbox escapes.
Which means applications can break out of their isolated memory environments. And what's shifting the paradigm here is the methodology.
How so?
Well, Mythos isn't using traditional fuzzing, where a program is just bombarded with random garbage data until it crashes. It uses AI-driven symbolic execution. The model actually reads and comprehends the logic flow of the source code.
So it understands what the code is trying to do.
Exactly. It identified these highly obscure execution paths where memory wasn't being properly isolated between user space and kernel space.
Here's where it gets really interesting, the efficiency. Mythos found these bugs and generated the proof-of-concept exploits in 72 hours.
Which is insane.
And the compute cost was like $500. A human researcher would take 2 to 6 months and cost up to $200,000 to find this stuff. It's like hiring a superhuman Terminator as your home inspector. It just sees through the walls instantly.
It really does. What's fascinating here is that it completely democratizes top-tier exploit development. Hackers no longer need nation-state budgets to find 0 days. They just need a few $100 in cloud compute.
So it's the start of an AI arms race.
Oh, we're already in it. It's not Skynet, but it's hackers using AI to find bugs aggressively, racing against offenders, using AI to generate and deploy patches. Whoever has the better AI or the lowest latency wins.
Well, Apple is rolling out patches for these 17 vulnerabilities in macOS 15.6 this coming June. So the defensive side won this specific engagement, mostly because Anthropic responsibly disclosed the findings.
Right. But the timeline from discovery to exploitation is shrinking from months down to hours.
And honestly, the concept of fully autonomous AI ripping through operating systems and deploying patches or exploits at machine speed terrifies a lot of people. Do we really want it making high-stakes decisions entirely on its own?
It is the ultimate black box, which actually brings us to a major philosophical divergence in AI development right now.
Yes, let's talk about Mira Murati, the former CTO of OpenAI. She just launched a startup called Thinking Machines.
With an $85 million seed round backed by some heavyweights like Sequoia and Reid Hoffman.
Yeah, and their whole foundational philosophy is human in the loop. They are actively building AI to augment humans, not replace them.
Which is a huge pivot from the rest of the industry.
Right. Their first product is a specialized medical AI. Instead of just ingesting a patient's chart and spitting out a single diagnosis, the model generates multiple scenarios. It explains its reasoning, surfaces the medical literature, and then asks the doctor to make the final call.
It forces human validation.
But isn't this going backward? The whole industry is sprinting toward fully automated artificial general intelligence, and Murati is deliberately installing speed bumps. Why are investors pouring capital into a slower model?
It's a fair question, but you have to look at the context. You sacrifice raw processing speed, sure, but you gain systemic resilience. In high-stakes fields like medicine or finance, fully automated AI is a massive liability.
Because it messes up, people die.
Exactly. If an autonomous diagnostic tool hallucinates and prescribes a lethal medication dosage, the legal fallout would permanently destroy the company. By enforcing explainable, auditable AI, they build the trust required for real-world adoption.
That makes total sense. So slower is actually safer. They aren't building a speed bump. They are installing the steering column that allows the vehicle to legally operate on public roads.
Exactly. And that demand for algorithmic oversight isn't just about restraining AI. It's also being deployed to regulate human behavior.
Speaking of high-stakes finance, let's pivot to the CFTC, the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission. They officially deployed an algorithmic watchdog to hunt down insider trading on Polymarket.
Which is huge, considering Polymarket facilitated $15 billion in volume on prediction markets last year. It's a prime target for manipulation.
So how is the CFTC using AI to track this?
The AI uses deep temporal pattern and network analysis. So instead of merely scanning the blockchain for large transactions, it ingests time series data of wallet funding and cross-references it with, like, off-chain social media velocity.
Okay, so it correlates the exact timing of massive betting spikes against the release of embargoed news.
Exactly. It flags suspicious bets made right before major events. For example, it identifies burner wallets that have laid dormant for months, suddenly receive funding via anonymizing mixers, and immediately place a massive bet on a highly specific outcome just hours before the news breaks.
It operates like a casino pit boss.
Right.
But one that can instantly cross-reference every gambler's background with tomorrow's news in real time.
Yeah. And it's highly effective. They've already flagged 47 cases, launched 12 formal investigations, and even secured the arrest of a political campaign staffer.
Oh, right. The guy who generated $2.3 million in illegal profits based on unreleased polling data?
Yep. And what's fascinating here is that regulation getting smarter is actually great news for crypto and prediction markets. Better oversight forces out bad actors, which leads to institutional trust and mainstream adoption.
So the blockchain's public nature actually makes it perfect for algorithmic policing.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have spent this entire deep dive dissecting insanely complex systems. We've looked at EWS parsing flaws, poison NPM packages, AI exterminators, and algorithmic watchdogs.
It is an overwhelming amount of complexity.
It really is. But sometimes, the most successful profitable tech solution ignores the bleeding edge entirely. Let's talk about Rapido.
This is such a great story.
It's an Indian ride-sharing startup that just raised $240 million at a $3 billion valuation. And they're big innovation.
They use motorcycles instead of cars. Literally just motorcycles. They do 4 million daily rides and are profitable in 80% of their 120 cities. They are completely outperforming giants like Uber and Ola, who are still burning billions trying to optimize car dispatches in the same region.
Because a car in gridlock is still a car in gridlock, no matter how good the algorithm is.
Exactly. And Rapido is expanding to Bangladesh and Indonesia, buying 100,000 electric motorcycles. So what does this all mean? Why did it take a $3 billion valuation to remind the tech world that two wheels get through a traffic jam faster than four?
This raises an important question about what investors actually value right now. During the last decade of zero interest rates, venture capital subsidized massive complexity. Companies tried to solve geometry problems with software.
Right, trying to force luxury car economics into congested, price-sensitive markets.
Yeah. But Rapido stripped away the algorithmic bloat. They won by matching the exact right tool, which is cheap and small, to the exact environment-heavy traffic. The era of funding unprofitable, overly complex tech is ending. Wow. Simple is the ultimate innovation. Okay, let's pull all of this together. For you listening, navigating this landscape requires constant vigilance. Cybersecurity is a constant process of patching the front door, like that Exchange server flaw, and checking the back door by auditing your NPM dependencies.
Right, use those lock file.
Exactly. And AI is changing the game for both hackers, with tools like Mythos and regulators like the CFTC. But humans must stay in the driver's seat, as thinking machines is proving. And finally, Rapido proves that complexity isn't always the answer.
It really doesn't have to be.
So, reminder, check your dependencies, update to macOS 15.6 in June, and patch that Exchange server if you haven't already.
Yeah, please do that today. And, you know, I want to leave you with this final thought. Today we learned that our software is so complex, we need AI to find the bugs. And our AI is becoming so complex, we need human-in-the-loop guardrails just to trust it.
But as Rapido proved, sometimes the most robust system is simply the one with the fewest moving parts. So as we enter the great AI cybersecurity arms race, we really have to ask ourselves, will our ultimate defense be building an even smarter algorithm? Or will it be intentionally simplifying our digital lives so there's less surface area to hack in the first place?